Just before we move on, Charlie McConnell, our outgoing minister, because a lot has been said in your absence. You know, what can you say to, and I know you're acutely aware, because we all are, of the older people living in houses that can't get bridging loans, the families, the unintended consequences of this. We know families have been bereaved by suicide because they just can't deal with this. They can't afford to go on the scheme. They simply can't gather up the money, right? And their houses are falling around them. These people are facing winters. They can't heat the house. These are all your constituents, right? And I'm not talking about three or four horror stories to try and land one on you. That's not. But we know there are an awful amount of people like this. And people suffer incredibly with their mental health. In schools, kids are asked to do an essay, and the essay is on defective concrete because that's their entire life. One in six school children in Milford, in Loretto, living in a defective concrete home. Many, many, many people can't get onto this scheme. What can you say to those people? Because these are almost people outside of, oh, the scheme works for some and people are built. These are people, they have no hope and no. They're in semi-detached houses. The neighbours can't progress. They can. You know, there's so many people like that. We're not artificially amplifying it, Charlie. Honestly, we're not. What can you say to those people?
It's a trauma for every single family affected. And many people are sitting, haven't applied for the scheme and are really worried and are listening to, you know, much of the discussion, particularly online, in relation to it. What I would say now is that the new scheme that has been in place for over a year, year and a half, previously, under the previous scheme, the homeowner had to come up with the testing costs and there was upfront costs in relation to that. Now, to apply for the scheme now, it is 600-800 euro. That's what the cost of the initial assessment is. After that, then, the testing...
Let me finish.
No. After that, then, the testing is now carried out by the state, okay? For many who are going through it at the moment, many are getting the costs covered or very close to covered. What I would encourage people to do is to apply for the scheme. And
Charlie, you've got to start listening to the people of Donegal here. 1,300 people packed the Gateway Hotel. 1,300 people.
We have delivered.
1,300.
We have delivered
just months ago in Donegal.
Let me say this.
It's not working, Charlie. Yeah, at some point you have to accept Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, the ministers that you surrounded yourself with, right, have treated the people of Donegal like second-class citizens.
Let me say this. Hold on a minute. When the legislation, and I've again to say the new scheme is entirely different from the previous ones before, and we're seeing the evidence now with new homes starting every single week. Padraig, in your instance, okay, in this, after the legislation came in, you and your party promised that you'd publish your own legislation. And Let me say it first. You promised in the summer of 2022 you'd publish your own legislation. You never did.
Yeah.
You came back in the summer of 2023 and you said, we're still working on it, we'll publish it soon. You never did. Yeah. Okay, as I said, we've pointed out before, when you got into the government of Northern Ireland, you didn't do anything there at all.
Can I respond, Greg?
Whenever I'm finished my point, you can come back, okay? Six or seven weeks ago, or three or four months ago at a public meeting, you promised you would do one principal private residence and one rental property.
Yeah, rental.
And then after you printed your election leaflets, Padraig, you totally changed your promises again, despite the fact that you have delivered on nothing you've said before.
Okay,
can I respond? I politely let him say, because he made the same statement on Drive Time the other day. So let's deal with the facts, okay? In July 2022, Charlie, you sat in the Dáil Chamber while traumatised homeowners were in the public gallery. 81 amendments were put forward. My housing spokesperson, Owen O'Brien, worked with the campaigners in Donegal to draft those amendments. You ignored all of those amendments, you rammed the legislation through, and you watched the campaigners traumatised, banging the Perspex screens in the public gallery. We worked with, and you can check this with the campaigners, this can be verified. Every time we talked about drafting legislation, we were working with the homeowners. We were going to republish the 81... I didn't interrupt you. You put these allegations, I'm dealing with them. So the 81 amendments, we worked with the homeowners, we were going to bring them in again. The campaigners said, hold back because we're engaging with government to try to see how this scheme goes, okay, every step of the way. They then published the People's Document, which is a tremendous document. 1,300 people in the Gateway Hotel were at the launch of that
document.
You're not backing it in some sense. No. Michael Doherty is a leading campaigner in this issue. He drafted most of that People's Document, working in cooperation. Be very clear, he has been down and other campaigners meeting the Sinn Féin Housing spokesperson for 4 hours recently with legislation that we're drafting in cooperation with them on this issue. So if you check with Michael Doherty, the most respected campaigner on drafting legislation, he'll verify all of that. So Charlie, you have no credibility. You failed the people of Donegal, and I hope the people of Donegal get their say on Friday on this.
Okay, hang on a second. Charlie, okay, real simple. Why hasn't there been a judicial review? Why hasn't there been a public inquiry? We have wasted thousands of people's lives in Donegal. It's a tragedy. And why haven't you called for a public inquiry? Why haven't you called for a judicial review? You have this within your power. You could do this. You know what I mean? You could show people, I am not for the party, I'm for the people of Donegal.
I have been throughout, and I have worked night and day
on behalf of homeowners to get it
to where it is today, and I will continue to do that.
Okay. Just in relation to some of the comments Porrick have made and reference I made earlier, Charles Woden, I say this with respect. If the campaign is working so closely with Sinn Féin in terms of actually drafting the legislation with Sinn Féin, and unless I've misread what Porrick McLaughlin says, many of the key figures in the campaign
in this opposition parties,
right? Yeah. Again, what does that mean to people who say, right, I was going to vote for Charles Wall, but now I'm hearing that, you know, we've got key people like Paddy Diver, we've got Michael Doherty. Isn't it Michael Doherty working with them to draft the legislation?
And Michael Doherty and Paddy Diver, I'm in constant contact with them, and they're supporting me too. You know,
Whatever it takes,
and we need a voice in the Dáil that's directly affected, because there's nothing worse than Dublin will see than somebody who's directly affected, elected by the people of Donegal, to stand in the Dáil. Then they'll know there's a real problem going on. When I'm there, they will know.
We need somebody at the cabinet table. That's where.
But your seat at the cabinet table is not
guaranteed,
Charlie.
No seat is guaranteed. But we need somebody. It's somebody at the cabinet table. We actually need.
But you're not guaranteed that seat.
To drive it forward.
Okay.
And that's something I'm going to continue with for a genuine
100% redress scheme. It is billions of euro. Okay, and you do need a change of government, and you need Sinn Féin leading the next government. That's the reality, to actually deliver the justice that our people need in Donegal.
Vincent, go ahead.
We can talk till the cows come home. Yeah. Let Friday be the decider of what the people want.
Well, that's what the whole function is.
Let them decide on Friday.
We can do this. There's a way around this. There's bulk buying, major companies coming in, getting this done. The way we're building our houses, the most expensive way you can do it, wasting money.
One quick question, and I'll just put this to you, Charlie McConnell, if that's possible. Just in terms of the state of the housing market here in the mica world, right? There's lots of people now sitting in houses with levels of mica that will not lead to their houses crumbling. They can't sell the houses. The banks won't lend on them. You know, there needs to be something put in place that clears all of this up, because, again, we understand why the word mica is continuing to be used, because it's just it's the word that's associated with it. But what about all those people out there now that will come back with levels of mica? We know that's not the problem now. What's being done to move the market? Because people are trapped and they're not actually affected by this crisis.
Well, I think that's something that needs more.
Like what?
Well, I mean, I think the National Standards Authority, in terms of defining exactly what the science is around this, is going to be really important. This has been a moving challenge throughout, Greg, and it's something we need to continue to work on. And that is a real challenge at the moment, and I think more work is required in relation to it.
Okay.
And it's something I'll continue to work on.
Yep, quick word, Charles.
Michael, down Bruncranna, you're listening today. You're in this predicament, and I said to you, I will fight for you. And you've got every right to get the same treatment as everybody else. His house is mica. He feels he's abandoned because he can't do anything with it. But he will not be abandoned. I will make sure of that.
But it's only mica he has.
It's only mica.
Yeah, okay. Right, okay. Back with more from our guests after these. Thank you very much for your patience. We have to pay the bills, of course. It is the 9 till noon show. We're in our second election debate. And look, I suppose if you look over the 6 hours of conversation, it was inevitable that such an important issue as defective concrete was going was going to dominate the situation, and it gives everyone a chance to have a say and a right to reply and all that stuff. Housing, stroke, immigration, I think they're all kind of somewhat connected. Some people might feel they're more connected than others might. This is one of the things... Vincent J. Bradley, that you've been very focused on. Is it as big an issue now, do you think? Do you think this is an issue now, or even a bigger issue now than it might have been in your council campaign?
Yeah, it's actually a bigger issue now, because people are realising we've got thousands and thousands of people coming into this country on a weekly basis. Nobody knows where they're coming from. The government are shouldn't be allowed, because you take it Hungary and in the Netherlands. The Netherlands are demanding to opt out of the EU Migration Pact. Ireland has an opt-out clause, but you just went and voted in. So what the hell's going on? The people were never asked for the rest of the world to come into this country. There is no houses. Most of these people, we don't know who they are. They're all just coming in here, chancing their arm. We made it very clear in the 2000s.
So just in relation to that, you believe that, you know, in your community that you're from, has a lot of people from different backgrounds living and integrated into it. In some cases, you're of the view they're just chancing their arms.
Well, the Ukrainian one wants to start to cut the funds, and the Ukrainians, there's a lot of Ukrainians going back. So they're obviously economic migrants. Most of these people are coming in here are economic migrants.
Yeah.
So in 2004, the people of this country made it very clear about mass immigration through the Anchor Baby referendum. 80% of the people went out and said, we do want this. And then since that period of time, especially this last 10 years, the government has ranked it up. And if you go back to 2010, 15 years ago, there's over plus 1 million people, 1.23 million people came into this country. They're all housed. They're all in accommodation. But yet the Irish people are dying on the streets, which times you didn't agree with me before, but on the summertime, we have people dying on the streets.
Not
in the
sure
wintertime.
That was me.
It was you. So we have a mess of a country. People that are renting are living in fear, because they're only as good as their last rent, because they could be put out in the street and new tenants moved in. More than likely, people from not from the country.
So do you think that there should be a ban on no-fault evictions? We have to come up with solutions too, Vincent,
right.
You know?
Okay, if you're wrecking a house and destroying a house, and you shouldn't be allowed in the house. But if you're put out, there's unfair competition at the minute, because you take Ukrainians, they're getting an €800 tax-free to the landlord, very attractive, more than somebody else. The people are in total dismay, because we have crime now gone up. This government has actually turned on the people of this country. It's turned this country into a river of blood, because we have people being killed by people that should not be in this country.
Yeah.
We have young women being killed. We have two men actually up in Sligo, was it 2 years ago, their heads cut off them. This is insanity. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's reflective?
This is a problem. We're supposed to walk about our own country without fear or hindrance. We can't. The people can't do that now. Young children are outside.
So you're more genuinely more afraid now.
The people are. The people are telling me.
Okay.
The people are saying that they can't put
out. Not questioning that, by the way. Yeah. I'm just teasing it out with you.
And gang rapes has gone through the roof. This culture has to stop.
Okay.
The young children being raped, boys and girls.
What's the proportionate increase in relation?
Well,
to
there is one is too many. Like, it's not about stats. It's one is too many.
Okay.
And the government are fueling it, because they're inviting the world to come in here, get the free houses. There is no houses for nobody. There's no houses for the people in the country, never mind the rest of the world.
Yeah, I mean...
And it's a human trafficking as well. People are coming in here facilitating human trafficking. The Irish government are facilitators in human trafficking. These people that come across the channel, they're wealthy. They have money to do all this, to pay criminals to come into the channel and into England. They're all coming out of England, a percentage have come out of England. Nobody knows. The government doesn't even know where they come from. The government are not even asking where they come from. The government doesn't want to know. Just get them in here.
Okay. I mean, obviously, Charlie McConnell, I think all the main parties have adjusted their...
Why did you vote for the migration pack? That's the question.
Do you want to respond to that, Charlie?
So listen, I mean, I think, first of all, I think it's totally wrong to be tying and making those assertions, Vincent, in relation to immigrants and tying.
But do we see the results of the people? We see the attacks on the people.
Come back in the second.
We have issues in up and down the country in district courts, circuit courts every week, every month, and there's no evidence in relation to.
Just in relation to that, if you don't mind, Charlie, and I see you hadn't spoken much in the first hour, and I don't want to find like I'm being argumentative with you, but the senior guardie in this county say that there has been no increase in criminality or sexual assaults attributed to those coming into the county, Vincent. I can only go by what they're saying, but that's what the senior guardie is saying.
If you go into our district or circuit courts, you won't be seeing, you know, Ukrainians or IPAS. But we've seen that, and it scares people. Okay, that type of, and it's incorrect.
But broadly speaking, in terms of immigration.
So listen, you know, we live in a turbulent world at the moment, and you know, we're currently in the seeing the forced war on European soil since the Second World War, in terms of what's happening in Ukraine. And we also see what's happening in many other parts of the world, and Gaza and Palestine and Lebanon as well. And indeed, there's significant strife in other parts of the world, in North Africa, for example. And that has led not just in Ireland, but to many other countries as well, across Europe, an increase in terms of those seeking asylum and protection. And Irish people, particularly in the context of the Ukraine war, really stepped up.
But do you think Irish people are being asked to do too much, Charlie?
But what we're seeing now, actually, what we're seeing in our own county now, for example, is there's more displacement of Irish people being replaced.
That's what's going on, Charlie.
We'll come back to you in a second.
But there's actually, for example, now in Donegal, there's actually more leaving now accommodation in Donegal than there is coming in. You know, and the representation.
But a lot of those are going into the private rental sector.
But many are leaving the county altogether as well. But there's no doubt that given what happened in Ukraine 2 years ago, it led to a significant uptick. People responded very strongly to that, but it also put big pressure on the immigration system, and we have to have an immigration system that works, where people need are fleeing persecution and are in danger of their life. They need to get
be able to get
quick answers, okay? And you have to work internationally with other countries to manage that piece.
If the system is in place that determines that people are genuinely fleeing persecution and war, do you believe that we should be helping them?
Limited. We're a small country.
But what's the? How many do you think?
Limited. We're a small country. We're this country now. There is no houses left or hospitals. There's nothing left in the country. We're swamped. We've possibly nearly 2 million people that are not born in this country here. We're about 3.5 million people. We're being replaced because all our young children are leaving the country because they don't see a future. They can't get houses.
The statistics would show that the white Irish are still, I think it's 87%, something along those lines.
They're a little over 70%. That's the best.
Okay.
So
right.
Our young people are leaving. Yeah, there is no houses.
It's really important to dig into those stats because a lot of the people that aren't born here are actually from England and from Europe who can move freely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's not people from outside the EU or Britain.
But when is enough going to be enough?
Just answer the question, what is enough?
Well, we've passed the point.
So you're saying that if people are genuinely fleeing war, hardship,
if you're genuinely fleeing war, you seek asylum in the first safe country. They're coming through all the countries across Europe. They're sitting over about
England. With no direct flights to here.
But that's
you're
not
that that's
under the Dublin Agreement. It states clearly that you seek refuge in your first port of call.
Okay,
that's it.
All right then.
And Ireland is—they probably didn't even know where Ireland was two days before.
What's your view?
So we take over twice the national average of asylum seekers. Okay. And this is mixed in with the fact is that we're the forgotten county and there's a narrative of us versus them, okay? Which is not the way it is at all. I work in healthcare. I have IPAS people working with me. We specialise in dementia care. They work with me. They're kind, loving people who have had to flee countries due to persecution, okay? What we've got going on is there's no planning. The government plan is in place. It's bad management, okay? Along with the fact is that we're making millionaires out of people who are housing IPAS families. So what we've got going on is when they're going out into the communities, there's no consultation. There's services that are stretched already. There should be consultation with groups, community groups, so that we know that Is the doctors going to be overwhelmed? Is the schools going to be overwhelmed? But this doesn't come to pass. It's just you're thrown in there and that's the way it is. And the other thing is with IPASS families is when this contract is up and they have to go into our communities, they're left trying to find houses in a defective concrete crisis going on where there's other people trying to get rented accommodation. Yes. And they're going from a paid accommodation to paying $1,000 to $1,200 a month for a house, and they're simply going to the wall. They can't afford it.
All right, Bárg McLaughlin, Sinn Féin.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it that Donegal has taken, per head of kappa, the largest number of refugees, Ukrainian refugees, and an international protection applicants, asylum seekers. So there's been a huge burden taken by the people. My big problem is the lack of consultation again and again with communities, and the fact that a small group of people made a fortune of money of this.
That's where we're at now.
That is, and it has to change. Yeah, has to change. You know.
Yeah. So what do you do?
Well, in terms of ourselves, a couple of things, if you don't mind, just want to go through in terms of our own policy area. We would bring in an immigration management agency. So that in terms of the issue of people coming into the country, you know, every country has a responsibility to accept genuine asylum seekers. But the issue here is that people from safe countries, it takes too long to process their applications. Then when they're rejected, there's no clear strategy about how they go back to their home countries or back to the country that they landed in first. So you need to seriously enhance the resources to do that much, much quicker. You then need to make sure that the facilities that you're building are state-run, right? And you need to make sure that the communities that can best cope with it. So if you look at the Pobble Index of deprivation, there's ways of looking at communities across the state that would be better positioned to deal with this. I mean,
have you any limit to the amount that is going to come into this
contract?
Just
to be clear.
Have you got a limit?
But just to answer your question, Vincent, because every country has a responsibility to take... Vincent, you asked me a question. Okay, so I'm going to answer your question. Right. Okay, so every country in the world, the reason why we get to have our people emigrating all over the world...
On the Geneva Convention,
absolutely. So genuine asylum seekers, you've said yourself, or you agree with this, should be facilitated. That's it. Yeah. So what we need to do is make sure those who are not genuine, quickly you make decisions and quickly they go home. And then whatever you then are dealing with, that they are housed in state provision.
That's kind of what you're looking for, though, Vincent, aren't you? You're not anti-immigration. You said that yourself.
Yeah.
You couldn't put a figure on how many enough is enough. So really what you're calling for is similar to what the government is moving towards, the outgoing government is, and what Charlie McConnell and Bárg McLaughlin
is proposing. It has to be shot down. Shot down.
And in terms of then... How then do we fill vacancies in sort of healthcare?
Well, in 2019, that hospital down there, I was actually down in the hospital in 2019, there was 26 student nurses. Two of them were actually leaving the country. 24 of them went for job interviews. They all got 19 and a half hours. They all had to leave the country because they weren't being employed.
Okay. So you'll believe that the nurses that could be working there are leaving. Okay,
of course they want to come back home, but they can't get accommodation, they can't get work.
Okay.
But we're taking in, because it's all cheap labour as well through agencies and stuff.
I don't think agency works cheap, take your point.
I can just say this now, I was just talking to people that were working with me, two full-time workers and with two kids, 40 hours a week, both of them, childcare, the whole lot. They're paying, they've got a deposit for their house, okay, that they went and worked in Australia to get. This deposit is sitting there waiting to be used. They're paying rent $1,200, but for them to get their mortgage, they're having to put money on top of this. They're squeezed. So each one of them have to produce 150
euro. We'll come back specifically about housing if that's okay. Just a quick question, because I've been contacted directly by a few of the families who very sadly lost loved ones in the Creusa explosion. And it's a simple sort of a question. They want to ask if you fully support the inquiry into the Creusa explosion. And I presume they mean a timely inquiry rather than there's room for one, but after other things have continued. So, Bárg McLaughlin, speaking to those Creusa families, Do you support an inquiry into the Chrysler explosion?
Yes. Mary Lou MacDonald, our leader, joined myself and Piers Doherty at a recent meeting with the families. It was a harrowing meeting because we all were heartbroken at that time, but all of us move on with our lives and they're stuck in that moment. It's harrowing, so yes, absolutely support it.
Charlie McConnell Logue?
Yeah, I recently met along with the Minister for Justice, Ellen McEntee and Eamon Ryan, with all of the families. And listen, the trauma is unbelievable, and they live it every day, and they absolutely deserve to get to the bottom of what
happened. Mihol Martin sort of suggested he's not opposed to it, but the timeline, are you of a different view?
No, well, that's, I mean, I think the government are looking at it in the context of the ongoing investigations. But
what's your feeling? You think it could progress in tandem?
I think it's we're considering, but I think bottom line is there has to be full get to the bottom of it. That may require.
I'm sorry to press you on this because I'll just be truffle it on. So just to be clear, are you saying
that
you'd be in favour of it progressing now in tandem with the other investigations?
I think we have to take advice to make sure it doesn't impede in any way the existing investigations. But I'm absolutely in favour of a full investigation so that we get to the bottom and the families know fully what happened and how it happened and. And they can be prevented in future.
We all want that, don't we, Charles?
These families need closure, and this is the way to do it. Now, Councillor Frank McBurtie yesterday put a motion in, and it was seconded by Thomas Sean Devine, and the 100% Redress Party fully support public inquiry and give these families the closure they need.
Vincent?
Yes, there has to be closure now, of course, because it's going to drag on too long, and as I say, the people needs... They need to put it to good rest as well.
So. Okay, back with more about delivering housing and the housing situation after these. We have Charlie McConnell Logue with us, Padraig McLaughlin, Charles Ward, Vincent J. Bradley. And I think we're going to have to devote, I suppose, the rest of this to one of the biggest issues in the county. That's housing, generally speaking, as well. And Charles, I did cut you as I was heading to that break because I think it's probably an important story and I had to get that out of the road.
Yeah, that's okay. A lady wrote this down for me yesterday and I just wanted her circumstances. And two full-time workers, and yous are listening today, with two kids paying for childcare. They've been away, they've saved up the money for their house, a deposit, which is in around $30,000, just to get a house in their local area. Now, they've gone to the bank, they're paying $1,200 a month rent on top of that, including their bills, utilities, cars, car loans and so on. So... they have to pay the bank a cost of living. It's like a savings plan. And it's €150 each. After they complete this, after 6 months, they can go and get their mortgage. But with the cost of the rent, they are squeezed. With the cost of their bills, they're squeezed. And I said to them, when realistically will you be able to maintain that deposit and meet your goals? She says, not in the next 5 years. That's what's going on. She said to me, one of two things. If I didn't play by the rules, I would have been okay. And when I said, what do you mean by playing by the rules? She says, well, I could have gone on and done it different ways. I could have been in the house by myself and not got married to my partner and things would have worked out. She says, I'm the middle, I'm squeezed, I'm needing help. And that's why I'm highlighting stuff like this, because this is what we're dealing with. This is what we're facing.
Okay, and this is such an important issue as well. People want to hear about actual delivery, right? Because there's tens and 20s and 30s and 40s of thousands of houses being pulled out of the air. People want to know, with our current infrastructure on our planning regulations, you know, how many houses can Sinn Féin deliver in Donegal in 5 years and how?
Yeah, well, you know, Piers Doherty was here yesterday and he's our finance spokesperson. And he's worked for a long time now with Owen O'Brien, our housing spokesperson, to give people hope. So I just want to touch just on, because Charles has very importantly raised that story. This is a reality across, I mean, I canvass all across North Donegal. And the amount of families that I have met that have said, we are working families and we cannot put a roof over our head. You know, this is where we're at now in Donegal today in 2024, where you have two people working full time who can't afford to put a roof over their head. Rents have doubled.
I'll answer
that question. Like I say, very good question. Yeah. In 2010, from 2010 to 2021, that's 11 years, okay? Donegal County Council, because of government policy, Donegal County Council delivered less than 560 houses in that 11-year period. So what happened was, rather than people being housed in council housing, they were pushed into the private rental market. 2002, just 1 year, 2002, Donegal County Council and the Town Council delivered 560 houses. So in other words, 1 year, 2002, 560 houses, 11 years, less than 560. A total disaster. A total disaster that's led us now to the point, and then if you throw in defective blocks and the demand for rental accommodation, so there's just not enough rental accommodation. It's a disaster. So you have to have a plan, and we put our plan on
home.
Put
into, you have to have to factor into that too,
would
though.
Would you take migration into that there as a factor?
Well, you do have to factor in what Vincent said there, because
you
have...
I think I agree with Vincent.
Because you're fueling them. Yeah. Do you agree with me?
I agree that our people... That this is the reality of 2024 in Donegal. Yeah. This is my live reality. Every day of my life, right, every day I deal with the implications of the failure of government policy, working families that can't do this. So, yes, people are angry when they're dealing with that, and then they're seeing an influx. That is correct...
Would you agree with Charlie, no, that mass migration is a catalyst in the fueling of the housing crisis?
Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not the catalyst or fueling. To be very clear, yeah. I've okay. laid out the reason.
I'll put something to Charlie in my conlogue, if that's all right. If it's just and he can answer that if he wished. Charlie, how do we deliver houses for people? You know, because the stories on our show, I mentioned this yesterday. These are people who are working. They're facing eviction. They've nowhere to go. They could get a mortgage for for the same house for 600 or 700 euro that they're being asked to pay 1200 or 1300 euro in rent for, and that obviously then, as I think Charles was referencing, that then they're told by the bank you can't afford to pay a mortgage because you're paying too much rent. It's a catch 22, and we're not building, and there is a serious infrastructural gap in this county, I think, to actually progress building on the scale that either the government or Sinn Féin are promising.
Well, look, it was a key department Fianna Fáil sought after the last election, Greg, because we wanted to get in there and make real progress in housing. 4 years ago, the total number of houses that were being built nationally was 20,000 houses. We published Housing for All and put a number of programmes and supports in place. This year, it's going to be closer to 40,000 houses, OK? And we're seeing...
Are they in this county, any of them up here?
Well,
or how many?
For example, we've seen, for example, in terms of social housing, Pádraig mentioned the figure there that in 11 years, there was 500 houses built in total, OK? We put Housing for All in place. We have the largest ever investment in social housing nationally. And in Donegal here, what's that seeing is that by the end of this month, there'll be 600 houses either completed or commenced construction for social housing in Donegal since Housing for All came in 2 years ago. That's pretty much coming from nothing. All that was happening 4.5 years ago was some purchases, not new builds. We've got the council back into building, and by the end of this year, we'll see 600 either completed or under construction.
Do you know what the breakdown of that is?
The
breakdown of that is 220 have been completed,
Charlie,
and by the end of the year, between that and what is also underway, it'll be a total of 600.
Slow, Charlie.
But that's coming from a standing start, and that's something we need to build on.
Vincent, what do you say there?
How can you count numbers? 200 to 300 houses.
Let me just finish the point, okay? Another initiative which Fianna Fáil has introduced in government is the vacant and derelict property grant. And across Donegal here, we've seen 900 applications for that. And as I go around, I see the evidence of that, people bringing that back, bringing old properties back into play. And the other thing...
When is that review going to be published? The vacant property grant.
I'm not sure when it's
going to
be. What I say is, in terms of the actual scheme we've brought in, the evidence of it in the ground is very much there, and we've had the largest actually uptake anywhere in the country of that. And the other scheme that's been introduced and that we're pushing on with is the Help to Buy, where young people can get 30,000 euro, okay?
Young people are
and
all
this 30,000 euro towards their deposit,
that's
okay,
nonsense,
for
that.
Their home. And this also applies, Greg. What we did was we extended that as well to one
for
off
new houses
to one
that
off
through the roof.
To one sure, off to excuse me to one-off rural
Charlie,
houses.
So we've for young,
Vincent, it's kind of, it's kind
I've
of
been
a,
interrupted there regularly.
Yeah, I know.
Let me finish the point. That that helps young people, whether you're farm or you live growing up.
If you're living in a farm, you can't
come back in.
Able to get €30,000 of tax you've already paid back to get your deposit together to start to build a house. And that's something that, for example, Sinn Féin is planning to actually do away with under the next government. So we have a lot of progress underway.
Unravelling the government schemes, does that make sense?
We need to keep that going see it increased.
Well, the problem is, and Charlie, you live in this county, you must see it, right? The delivery of council housing is agonisingly slow, agonisingly. Waiting lists are absolutely huge. House prices have gone through the roof in Donegal. Rents have doubled, literally doubled, over the last sort of 5-6 years. This is under your watch. I mean, I said about the it's under your watch.
Okay.
9 years,
right,
years
Vincent? Just would you get that the point that you're trying to make just out? What do you say? So you see, it's kind of an ironic situation in that Charlie's a member of the government and you're not blaming him. You're actually blaming migrants, which is. But anyway.
Well, it's the government's responsibility. It's the government's fault for creating the situation. There is no houses.
Okay, and you believe that is...
Our young people can't get built on their own farm, on their own land, because they're putting through hoops for planning.
Yeah.
Yet, again, these multinational companies that are housing immigrants and stuff coming into the country, they're exempt from planning.
Mm. But so there's a two-tier system. But obviously 60 people living in a hotel or an apartment block in Donegal is not the solution to the Irish housing crisis for Irish people, in inverted commas, to make that differentiation.
Well, ease up on the planning for the people and give them, if they're a family farm, let the people build on their land. Sure, the N56 as well.
We need to go back in time here to make this work. We need to go back to the SI housing. We need to increase the social, if you're on social welfare or you're in social housing. If you earn or somebody works and they earn over 30,000, you're eliminated. So if they've got two people working, okay, and they are in the middle of trying to save for a house and they're not going to get there because their wages are too low, then, we have to allow them to become, to get on the social housing. So the way we used to do it, and particularly talking about where I'm from in Armagh, SI housing come in and they would build the house on the land. And it helped our community tremendously down in Armagh. And you would, to this day, you can still see when you go out, you can still identify. And them houses were built to such a great standard.
Yeah. Obviously, councillors in Donegal are united in wanting to allow people to build on the N56. It's, I think, effectively in the gift of the housing minister, Charlie McConnell-Logue. Why is he resisting the will of the elected representatives here? They're on the ground. They know what's best for the county, don't they?
Yeah, and listen, that's something I've been working with our councillors on as well and liaising with the minister. I think we need more flexibility in relation to the N56 in particular.
Right, did you want to make your point? Have you finished your point, Pádraig, in relation to...
I think that, as a society, you have to make a decision here. And are we going to accept a situation where young people, families, and indeed older people, but young people who are both working cannot put a roof over their head? Like, we have to come up with a pathway. Now, we have put forward the most comprehensive policy any opposition party ever has, a home of your own, over 100 pages, incredibly detailed, fully costed.
Let's just
deal with that, okay? Yeah. So let me just deal with that. You've asked me a question, okay? Yeah. So right now in Donegal, there's no plan to build affordable housing anywhere in this county. There is no plan whatsoever. I've engaged with Donegal County Council. They have to go through so many hoops. It's not there. So you have publicly owned land all across this county. And what we've said in Donegal and all across the state is that on publicly owned land, we will intervene and build houses, okay? Make them affordable related to your income. That means the state would put forward, you have all the cost savings because it's publicly owned land, and the state puts forward an amount of money.
Who's going to build those in Donegal?
You ask that question. Here's the thing, right? And whenever the collapse took place back in the day, we were building 90,000 houses per annum, 90,000. We today have more construction workers in Ireland than we had back then. So what's happening is they're deployed doing all sorts of other things.
They're in Dublin and they're in other office blocks.
I'm convinced if you have a plan, be it council housing, affordable housing, defective block housing. That's and you do it state run, where you have multi-annual contracts, where you're offering, you know, very considerable pipelines of work.
But more importantly,
when Owen and Pearce were drafting this policy, they engaged extensively with people who actually build houses in Ireland, and they looked at the Housing Commission, who are the experts, who said we need to build 65,000 houses per year. Yes. So that's where it comes from. It's based on talking to people who know how to build houses and know how to plan for building houses.
Just go ahead, Charles. I'll come back to you, Charlie.
I know how to build houses. I worked with the Reedy brothers in Clonmany. I worked with Sean Devlin down in Clonmany, and I built. With them, there would be a five-man squad, me included. We'd build 48 houses a year back 20 years ago. It was affordable. Right now, we're in a worse state now than we are then. We're meant to progress, but we're left behind. I've had meetings with modular home providers, and the prices that they're given, if they get multiples, we could get it in and around 80,000.
In relation to that, Charlie, why did we not go down that route? Why was that ruled out by the Department of Housing so early on, in that, you know, we have many crises here, but not least defective concrete and this housing crisis. But why is part of the solution not modular housing? Because, of course, modular housing is part of the solution for Ukrainian families and others in Sligo. And I'm not having a go on them, by the way. I just have to state the facts. But up here, it was ruled out for families with defective concrete and not doesn't seem to be a solution to even a social housing situation. Well, no. Why up here is it different?
It wasn't ruled out by government. The government actually said they would be willing to work with the council.
I was down in the Clanry Hotel, and a spokesperson for the housing agency said, we are not considering modular housing in Donegal. No,
but the minister did say that if the council came forward with a proposal, that he would consider it from them. So, and listen, we're discussing
so
here.
It's Donegal County Council.
That's what the minister said. Yeah,
that's Donegal County Council.
I'll contact the council and see what the story is.
And listen, on housing in particular. Okay, as I say, we've seen it grow from 20,000 to almost 40,000 now. We need to push that on and keep that momentum up. We don't need to reinvent the wheel in relation to it. We don't need to dismantle the progress we've seen. We don't need to get rid of the Land Development Agency, we don't need to get rid of the Land Development Agency, which is actually starting to produce very significant houses. And if you look at in Donegal here, about half of, and I've mentioned the vacant property grant, where 900 people have applied for it here in our own county, and it's making a real impact. But also then we have about half of the houses in Donegal, roughly, are one-off houses, one-off rural houses. The supports the government has in place, okay, to help people build one-off rural houses is that you can get €30,000 towards your mortgage, and then if you can also get support as well through the Help to Buy scheme through the First Home scheme as well, in terms of actually being able to get that mortgage.
What's the numbers
that
taking
is something,
that up?
That is something. There's been 40,000 people, for example.
No, Donegal.
There's
Donegal.
Been 40, there's been 40,000 people across the country have supported.
But what's in
every,
Donegal?
Every single
what's
young,
in Donegal? How many of them have taken it up in Donegal?
Every single young person today, Charles.
Has there been a significant uptake in Donegal? Well, listen, I'm not asking
every,
you for the exact
figure. I don't have the figure, but what I'd say is this. Every single young person in Donegal who's going to build their first home on their own land in any town land in this county at the moment can apply to the revenue for €30,000 of tax they've already paid to get it back to put towards a deposit, €30,000. They can also then apply to the help to, or to the first home scheme.
See if you step back a few paces, Charlie, right? It all goes back to what's the reality on the ground in Donegal? And the reality on the ground is that there is no plan to build affordable housing anywhere right now as we speak, anywhere in Donegal. Even though, let me finish, nowhere in Donegal is there plan to build affordable. We're talking about people who earn over €30,000 who can't go on the housing list and can't afford a roof over their head. That's that cohort. It's a big cohort of people.
What
no
is
plan
just in terms
them.
Of your plan, what's the salary cap to qualify?
Well, the issue is, you see, that you've got three things that you need to do, okay? Right now it's €30,000. We would increase that. I think it's another 5-10,000. But just let me answer the question, right? Because it's important, right? There's three things you need to do in relation to housing. There's the area of council housing. Those who earn 30, 35, 40 under our plan or less, you'll always have to provide. And that, by the way, that's not free housing. You pay rent.
Understood.
I always get annoyed. People think council housing is free housing.
It's not, no.
You pay rent. All it is, you have security for the rest of your life as long as you pay
just
the
briefly,
rent.
Please.
That's all you have. Then you need to have, this is the huge gap right now. Those who will earn between, say, 30, 40,000 up to maybe 70, 80, they just can't put a roof over their head.
70, 80, that's not enough.
But Greg, just to be clear, right? No. It's an actual solution which you have not provided. And
right,
the problem is, your minister, Darragh O'Brien, has failed.
Very brief word.
We're very brief. All these houses that we're going to build, the blocks are coming from in Donegal, the quarries still aren't regulated. So before we do things, let's get the quarries regulated before we start building houses.
Okay, now listen, this is the level of engagement today. It is literally, I would say, close to 1,000 comments. So hopefully that relates to people voting, because it's really, really important that we do. I'm not being preachy. You can choose not to. That's up to you. But every vote makes a difference. Vincent J. Bradley, Independent. Good luck with your rest of your campaign and with your election. Outgoing Minister Charlie McConnell of Fianna Fáil, thank you for joining us. Charles Ward, the 100% Redress Party, the very best of luck to you as well. And Pádraig McLaughlin of Sinn Féin. Gurmaha, good.